Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hour number two of the program happening right now. It has been a jam-packed sports day. And, of course, it's been a jam-packed last 72, 96 hours.
Oh, man, for us. It's been crazy.
And then we're, you know, you and I.
We already had a loaded show.
We had a loaded show already. We've got audio for days, and it looks like most of that's going to get kicked till tomorrow. But that's okay, because then the big news dropped literally 2 minutes before you and I went on the air that
we'll go ahead and rewrite
Bochy
the show.
Not going to be back next year as the manager of your Texas Rangers. We've already had Jared Sandler on. We're efforting to get a few more people on. But let's jump out of the DNM Leasing Hotline and welcome one of our friends of the program, just all around good dude, and somebody who is all too well versed when it comes to all things Bruce Bochy. He's been following his career for 20, 30 years now. And Bitter Mike Babbo from the Picked Off podcast. And so, Mike, you texted me literally right as we were getting ready to go on the show. Bruce Bochy out. Number one, were you surprised by the news? And then when Jared Sandler says that, or let's not Jared Sandler, but the Zoom notes come out that essentially, you know, the conversation between Chris Young and Bochy was that, look, we're not rebuilding, but we're not going to, you know, we're going to trim some payroll and there's going to have to be some more player development. And apparently that was enough for Bruce Bochy to say, maybe not.
Yeah, I'm not entirely surprised. I mean, Bochy's done it all. He's 70 years old. I mean, he's fourth, I believe. No, actually sixth all-time in winning wins. And all five of the guys ahead of him are in the Hall of Fame. So he's got a ticket to Cooperstown. It's very interesting timing considering the first manager to be let go was, his former club, the San Francisco Giants, who actually picked up the option on Bob Bellman in June as they were in the throes of a terrible losing streak. And Posey issued a vote of confidence in Bob Bellman and his brass, including his hitting coach, Pat Burrell. And then, of course, you know, the wheels fell off with them, and then they sold at the trade deadline. There's a lot of speculation as to the timing on this and whether Bochy will go back to San Francisco and work for his former catcher, Buster Posey. But I don't think that's going to happen, actually, because I think Buster wants someone younger. Yeah. You know, Bochy, I think, he's going to think long and hard about this offer to go into the front office job. When I saw him at the Sabre convention in Dallas in June, I saw the passion. Yeah. You know, I saw the love for him and his ability to certainly motivate young men. He loves doing that. He loves being he loves going to the ballpark every single day. There's no question about it. And I just think it's a matter of time for he's going to take some time to reflect on what he wants to do with the next chapter of his life. Maybe he wants to build a team with Chris Young, but I think he's going to take some time also because I'm actually kind of surprised that Carlos Mendoza for the New York Mets was retained after they flopped they had the best record in baseball around the same time in June. And, they were like 38-55 afterwards, and they were just a total dumpster fire. So I'm just very, very surprised because Bochy really preaches efficiency in defense and efficiency in getting guys, get them on and get them over and get them in for sure. And so I think that he's going to have a whirlwind of opportunities. But again, like I said, he's 7 years old, and so he's just going to see if he's got the fire left in him. I think he does, but it's just going to have to be the right situation. I definitely do not think he's going to go into Minnesota.
Well, let me ask you this, because and Blake and I were talking about this, is that, you know, when you get these older, you know, guys that have won a lot, I mean, you know, whether it was now granted with Greg Popovich, I mean, he had some health concerns, so that was kind of the reason why he stepped away as well. But, sure. You know, whether it was a Bill Belichick, right? And I mean, hell, and even maybe a Pete Carroll, even though he came back, and like I said, he came back at 72, 73, is there's questions about, okay, has the game passed them by? And I was telling Blake, I said, look, listening to the Bruce Bochy show, which is the hit they do every day with Eric Nadell, I was like, you know, he doesn't sound like a guy that the game has passed him by, right? Like, he's still just as, I mean, again, maybe he's lost a little bit off his fastball, but I guess to your point, is it more about, look, he's ready to, if he's going to stick around and in a coaching or in a managing a place or you know, position, it's going to be for a team that maybe it's a team that is playing right now that wants to get to over that hump, and is he a win now contender type guy if he is going to stick around and manage if he doesn't take this front office gig?
Well, I mean, there was a lot of things also that worked against the Rangers too, right? Having Eovaldi go down, and of course Simeon and Seager go down. And it really kind of threw a wrench into their plans, because I think they actually started to hit a lot better with runners in scoring position, which was their bugaboo, through the first half of the season. And they caught a couple of hot streaks, and they were right there. Certainly, it's just, I just think they ran out of steam. And then of course, you know, their bullpen was very inconsistent. It's really funny, guys. The Giants and Rangers were two peas in a pot. They really started hitting poorly with runners in scoring position. Their starting pitching really was solid, and of course it carried them. I mean, the Rangers had the best ERA in all of baseball, but it faded due to injuries. And of course the bullpen was inconsistent with the lack of clear roles. You really didn't have an established closer. You didn't have any established setup guy. And so I think he's going to try and find some type of situation, if he wants to manage again, where there is more of a set roster and a younger roster too. Because let's face it, I mean, the years that he had with the Giants, when they had the Camelot seasons of 2010, 12, and 14, he had a lot of young talent. He had Matt Cain, he had Tim Lincecum, he had 22-year-old Madison Bumgarner, he had, of course, Buster Posey, a very young 22 or 23-year-old Brandon Crawford, who won 3 Gold Gloves. Joe Panik, and of course he had a mix of veterans too, and some guys who could really put some wood on the ball, like a Marco Scudero, who, you know, in 2012 he had a 93% contact rate in the playoffs, and those are the types of guys that he likes. So ironically, he really works well with younger players, and I think that's what he wants. I mean, the Rangers,
they did play better. They did play better down the stretch with that younger group.
They sure did, but they also have the fifth oldest lineup in Major League Baseball at 29 years old. So that's something that he is going to take a hard look at too.
Sorry, we're over here. Let me ask you this, get you out of here with this, Mike, and I'll tell you what, shout out to you for jumping on short notice. Two things. One, is Skip Schumacher, and look, I get it, Chris Young's going to say all the right things. And do you think the timing of this, like you said, I mean, look, our two teams already fired their managers, so it's kind of a race against time, because again, apparently Skip Schumacher is a name that a lot of people are talking about as being a potential replacement for them as well. So do you think that had a lot to do with the fact that, look, if we're going to do this, let's hurry up and get this done, let's do this now? And from a free agency perspective, no matter, I don't know what Chris Young's going to do, but is this a destination yet?
I think the Rangers can be a destination for sure. I still think they got a lot of young talent. Wyatt Langford, although he suffered some injuries, and I think I'm not writing off Josh Young yet by any stretch of the imagination.
Really? Okay.
I mean, yeah, no, not at all. No, the guy. I mean, there is some talent there for sure. I know Jonah Heim has had a couple of rough seasons, but if you like our friend Henry Thomas said, Freddie D, if you've done it once, you can do it again. And those kids are young. Right. Evan Carter. I mean, I know he's hit the injury bug for the last couple of seasons. But I think this can be certainly a good look. This is a good group of guys. And I think they played hard with all the injuries and all the frustrations that they had, they weren't certainly not nearly as dysfunctional as the Mets. They're not as flawed as the Yankees. Albeit, even though that they came into the playoffs, I think the Yankees are going to have a really quick exit because they're going to, you know, they've been feasting on some really poor pitching over the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I really think that I think the Rangers job is a very attractive one for sure. And Chris Young's a smart guy. You know, he laced him up before, and he's going to find the right guy. I just think that I really do believe that it was a mutual thing. I mean, neither one of these guys are hotheads. You know.
All right, 30 seconds or less. 30 seconds or less. Baseball playoffs are here, my friend. Your favorite to win it all is?
The Phillies.
Okay.
I love their pitching staff, and their lineup 1-9 is a pain.
Okay. Fair enough. Tell the folks where they can find your podcast.
Oh, you can find the Picked Off podcast with Bitter Mike and Eric every week on Apple, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. And this weekend, actually, we are going to have Jeremy Affeldt, 3-time World Series winner. Jeremy will join us to give his preview of the playoffs, starting with the division series.
Perfect. I know we're trying to get him on the show as well, talk a little Bruce Bochy. Bitter Mike, great stuff from you as always, my friend. We'll do this again next week when the playoffs start in earnest.
Thanks, Freddie D. Thanks, Blake. God bless.
Yes, sir.
There you have it, the one, the only, Mr. Bitter Mike Babbo. All right, well. I mean, I think, look, what do we think people think about Chris Young?
He's pretty protected. I feel like people are very high on him because he spent a lot of money, and that's what the DFW fans like. They like to see you trying.
Yeah.
And he went and spent a lot of money, top 10 payroll since he's been here, a World Series, and no one's counted us out before the season. That's the worst feeling, when you have that Cowboys feeling.
Yeah.
When we're talking about the offseason, we're like, we're hoping for a top draft pick. Where you're just like, if they even make the playoffs, it'd be a miracle. Every year that CY's been here, I mean, we've had a playoff aspirations. We have not gone into one offseason like, oh, they probably won't make it. I mean, this year, you heard the talks. There was people who had us in the World Series. There's people who bounced back.
The World Series contender going into the season.
And we talked about all the guys that could hit home runs. So I think it's easy, and me and you are both guilty of it, to hindsight and be like, well, you made some of the wrong moves and they didn't play well. But in the off season, we felt good about this team. We weren't, other than the closer, we did mention that. But other than that, we weren't saying CY doesn't know what he's doing. The same way that we talk about Jerry and Steven and Will and how they construct the team, we have 20, 30 criticals about them in the offseason. This is not going to work. This defense is not going to be good. You do not have 5 or 6 different positions. With the Rangers, we have not said that. Now, have they always produced at the end of the year? No. But going into the season, we're like, hey, this is a championship-level roster. We like what CY has done. So I think he's put himself in a decent position where fans aren't coming at him as much because he's not the one on the field at the end of the day. We can look back and say, you shouldn't have signed Jock. You shouldn't have signed Jake. Well, we were really happy when they did because they were fastball hitters and they came in here to hit the fastball and
were
the Rangers stuff.
There was a lot of people
that were geeked about it.
I mean, I remember the Jock Peterson signing and I thought, okay, I mean, that's
I mean,
cool,
we didn't sign Shohei Ohtani, but no, you were still geeked thinking that like the Jared Sandlers of the world, they give you some of the advanced stats. He was one of the ones that broke it down to me. He goes, you should be excited about this because they are fastball hitters, Blake. And the Rangers were bottom 5 of the league at hitting the fastball, and you brought in 2 top 10 guys at hitting the fastball. This should cure a lot of your weaknesses. It's not going to be, hey, Adolis, go sit on the bench and we get a new cleanup hitter. I'm talking about going into the season.
Yeah.
And these are going to be your new power hitters and these guys don't have anything to worry about. Wyatt Langford, we don't care. You still had to have a collective unit do that. But going into the season, there wasn't that many holes. We were talking about, we were having the talk about where's Josh Smith going to play? Because you got so many guys. You have to find a way to get him in the lineup. You have 10, 11 guys that we want to play every night.
Played 130 games.
And then it was like, oh my God, we can't give Josh Smith an off day because everyone else is not good. I'm just excited of the core old, not I don't want to say old, the core veterans that were here, the ones that all the people listening right now think of, that 2023 team, most of that team still here, and the guys that finished the season. How much of a mix are we going to see? Obviously, a lot of guys are on contract, and maybe in the next segment we'll kind of look at some of the contracts and stuff like that. Guys are on a contract, but I just wonder how much of a mix you're going to see. Of maybe some of those younger guys, some of those guys that were coming off teams that got traded, that were on the streets that you picked up and you played better baseball with, or how much of it are we going to lean on the Josh Youngs, the Jonah Himes, some of the guys in our system? I just wonder how much of a mix you're going to see. And maybe that was one of the problems with Bruce. Maybe he wanted the young guys, maybe one of the veteran guys. I don't know. I wasn't there when that decision was made.
Well, but I think he only had so much to work with, though.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think that's
the you almost have two rosters to work with. You know what I'm saying? Like, towards the end of the season, they were practically playing with like 8-9 new players for the most part. I know there were some guys mixed in. But there was a good amount.
Because you had to, though.
I know. I'm saying, I wonder next year, is the team going to be more reminiscent of what we saw at the end of the year? Young, grassroots, kind of reading between the lines, grassroots players, younger players, player development. They played well. Or is it going to still be those veteran guys that are on contracts that we've known and come to love that have been here the last couple of years?
I still say you give you put Simeon and Seager on the block.
On the block? What does that mean, on the block? On the trading block?
Yeah.
You're just straight up anybody who wants them. Just get what we can out of them?
I mean, I'm not saying, you know, take a bad deal, but I would certainly listen to offers.
Well, that would really be switching up the core.
I mean,
I would be okay moving off Simeon. Seager, I feel like it's still a very consistent hitter.
Just to chime in, the issue is their contracts are so long.
Yeah.
I think Seager still has 7 more years on his deal.
Well, that's part of my point.
What's Simeon at? Same? Didn't they sign?
No, I think he's got like 3 or 4 years left, but I mean, it's a ridiculous deal, though. But that's my point, is if you can get a haul for a Corey Seager, why not?
I wouldn't. I would look to get a haul off Simeon if you can.
You ain't getting a haul.
I'm not getting a haul off
Simeon. No one in their right mind is giving you 35. Because I think he's making like what, 35 million. Tell you what, let's take a look at this. We're going to sprinkle in some Cowboys talk as well. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. That is the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line. You've got a dud of a Monday Night Football game. I mean, if you're into the AFC East, and I guess why not? Meanwhile, another dud of a Monday Night Football game is going on. Look, 99 yards in 2 seconds. Stranger things have happened, ladies and gentlemen. And in typical Justin Fields fashion,
there's no one even.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly, you know, what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland, you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There we go. Is this Garrett Wilson?
Yeah.
Garrett Wilson? I do have him on my fantasy team, so take that for
look at this tight end trying to get all the
yards.
Here we
go. Oh, and my man just got housed, so that is going to do it for that one. Nice little 30-yard pickup, though. And it looks like there's going to be a penalty on the defense.
And a fight.
When we come back, we'll
give you the score of this one. We'll give you the Rangers contracts and a little Cowboys talk on the other side.
This next segment on the Fan After Dark is brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call Frankel first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel and Frankel, there is never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel and Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas.
Dylan, thank you so much for that, sir. Yeah, this team, man. I mean, I can understand, like, on one hand, you're saying, yeah, we're not rebuilding. I mean, just looking at what you already have guaranteed for next season.
Talk to me.
You've got 6 guys that are penciled in as, like, guaranteed contracts for next year. DeGrom at $38 million. He's got 2 years left on his deal. I think he's got 3 years left on his deal. Let me see. Jacob DeGrom.
DeGrom's deal ends in 2027.
Okay, yeah, so he's got 2 years left. All right. You've got Marcus Simeon, who has 3 years left at 52. Still has he's got 3 years, $72 million left.
And for Simeon, if you're wondering, there is only one.
And by the way, he's 34.
There is only one second baseman making more than him, Xander Bogaerts for the Padres.
Okay.
He's on an 11-year contract that ends in 2033. So Marcus Simeon's second highest paid second baseman at 25,000 or 25,000.
I keep them all day at 25 grand.
25 million a year.
Okay. So you've got, all right. So Corey Seager's at 31.5 million next year.
Corey.
DeGrom's at 38. I mean, Corey's on there for so much longer. Doesn't even, I mean, what, don't even worry about that.
I was just saying he's the third highest long, pitch
so
shortstop.
Much, I mean, it's so much longer. Marcus Semien, 3 years, 72, as we just said. Evaldi has 2 years left on his deal, roughly $53 million, I think, is what he's got left on his deal. And then you got Jock Peterson, who, after a disaster of this past season, is slated to make around $21 million next year. Like, that's a crazy, crazy contract you gave this guy. And then you got our boy Kyle Higashioka, who's at $6.75 million. Now, Adolis, he's arbitration eligible. You've got Jonah Heim, he's arbitration eligible. Jacob Webb is arbitration eligible. Meanwhile, John Gray's a free agent. Merrill Kelly's a free agent. Tyler Malley's a free agent. Our own Dylan pitchers. Moore is a free agent. Chris Martin, looks like, he's a free agent. And then...
So you've named pitchers and Dylan Moore that are free agents.
I mean, you've got a lot. And then let's see... But then you've got a lot of other guys that are all arbitration eligible. You know, Josh Young is arbitration eligible. Berger's arbitration eligible. Josh Smith. So, you know, and that all gets worked out as far as that goes. I think it's just basically you come to an agreement. And we'll get a baseball person that knows far more about that than we do. But, you know, right now, Wyatt Langford is arbitration eligible. Evan Carter, Jacob Lax, right?
I wonder how Evan Carter's arbitration.
Actually, no, I take that back. That's wrong. Those guys, that's all in 2027. So... standby.
Everybody you said, or just who's in
2027? They're all arbitration eligible in 2027, is what I'm saying.
Everybody that you just named?
Yeah.
Okay.
Baseball's weird in how they do their contracts, especially when you're like a younger up and comer. Now, when you're the Marcus Semien, the Corey Seagers, the Evaldis, you know, you've put your time in. But when you're, you know, like for instance, you know, we look at, let's look at our boy Wyatt Langford. Okay,
talk to me.
Well, let's see what his contract looks like.
While you're looking that up, yeah. If I'm not mistaken, I came across an interesting tweet that was sent to me today that four of the top 10 payrolls in Major League Baseball did not make the playoffs this year.
Four of the top 10?
Four of the top 10.
Sounds about right.
Payrolls. And I'll give you those teams in like two. Oh, here we go. So the Mets, second highest payroll in Major League Baseball, $341 million a year. They did not make the playoffs. The Astros, $232 million a year. They did not make the playoffs. The Rangers, right behind the Astros at $223 million. They obviously did not make the playoffs. And then the Braves at $218 million did not make the playoffs. So spending money doesn't always equal results. You see about half the teams in the top 10 don't even make the playoffs this year. In an expanded playoffs where it feels like every team makes it, Rangers, who have... Dylan gave us a stat earlier, the best defensive season ever recorded in Major League Baseball, the number one ERA in Texas Rangers franchise history, also combated with, were we dead last as far as hitting?
We were close to it. We were 26th in batting average and OPS.
I don't think that's good, Dylan. So
yeah, like the team's worst were like the White Sox.
Am I crazy, Fred? Are the Rangers not just the inverted Cowboys right now?
As far as what, spending a ton of money and not getting anywhere?
No. I was saying as far as the Cowboys being phenomenal on offense, number one in EPA, all the fun stats, and being the worst defensive team. But they're just flipped. They're really good at defense and pitching, but they can't hit and score points.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So, yeah, we're going to have to get – I'll tell you what. This week, you and I will effort to get a baseball nerd on, and I mean that in an endearing way. Because, like, for instance, okay, so – Wyatt Langford, he made $773,000 this year.
That's a lot of cheddar.
That's a good chunk of change, right? But in the grand scheme of things, you know, for a guy that's
your second best hitter pretty much all season.
You know what I'm saying? Well, not just that, but I mean, he's a rookie, or not? He's like on a quote unquote rookie deal.
Yep.
Right. Like from a baseball in baseball terms, he's on his rookie deal. But he was drafted. What was he drafted? Like first, second, third rounder. For the Rangers?
Third rounder. Talking about Wyatt?
Wyatt Langford.
No.
He's a first rounder, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, first rounder. Okay. So, but that's what I'm getting at is that, you know, $773,000.
Oh, compared to like Cooper Flagg making like 15 mil.
Football and basketball, like, you know, making $773,000 as a first round pick. Now, I get it. It's a little bit different as how they go about doing their business. But my point in all that is this. In 2026, he's pre-arbitration eligible.
Cooper Flagg, 4 years, $62 million.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so yeah, Coop's going to be all right. Coop's going to be all right.
What do you think Booker's is?
Who? Oh, Tyler?
His is 4 years, $22
million. Okay, so a little more economical.
Yeah, a lot more players to pay.
A little more economical. And the crazy part is that, you know, the thing about Cooper Flagg's contract, that's fully guaranteed. He's going to see all $62
million. So is Booker's.
Hmm?
Booker's is fully guaranteed, first-round pick.
Oh, the well, but is the whole contract guaranteed, though?
Fully guaranteed.
Then it's fifth-year option. Well, but I'm just saying in the sense that, yes, his contract is guaranteed, but I'm just saying, you know, there is an aspect of NFL contracts that, you know, aren't guaranteed, right? Yeah. Whereas with the NBA, you sign a deal, you're getting every pin. I mean, 62
so
million,
it's he's 62, touching all that. No, it's 62, 28.3 is guaranteed in the first 2 years.
Yeah.
So third year is when it starts getting
hefty.
Yeah, it's not guaranteed. But it's Cooper Flagg.
Mr., you know, doesn't know what he's got in his pantry right now.
That was interesting. There was a couple questions we asked him as Media Day that stumped him. It was, we asked him that. He didn't have a crazy, the album question. And then wasn't Jaden Hardy when we asked him something crazy in his pantry? He was like, I don't know.
You might as well have asked him.
Hey, not too much. It's my boy. I see where your head's going.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, he wasn't.
You know, my favorite thing is, Dylan, about Fred.
What?
And all the listeners, if you ever met Fred in real life, can relate to this, or if you're friends with Fred. When he gets locked into something like he was with trying to look at Wyatt Langford's arbitration date coming up, and I asked him a question, he had no idea what I asked him. No. Zero idea. No. And I can see it in his face, and that's exactly why I asked him. And
he tuned it out.
He's just like, yeah, for sure.
I'm like, he has to squint his eyes.
Yeah, you see the eye squint. I'm like, Fred, do you think you're a good radio host? He's like, yeah, for sure. Okay. All right. So here it is. That's my favorite Fredism about you.
But just
acting like you're paying attention. You're hyper-focused, and then you act like you're hearing other things. Like, yeah, just, I'll write it down. And then I asked you 5 minutes later, you hear me? He's like, no.
My kids hate that about me, is that when I lock in, I lock in. Okay? What do you want from me?
Multitask.
But we need a baseball nerd to come on the show and explain to us how the salary cap in baseball, and I say salary cap, how the payroll dynamics work, and what exactly
payroll
does
dynamics,
pre-arbitration
I like
mean?
Payroll dynamics. Maybe we can get, I think Corey and Kevin are pretty good at that. Maybe. You know, I'm going to call them during the break.
Do that. Because to me, I would love to know, because again, you've got a lot of guys that are
all. Should we try Josh Young at cornerback?
I mean,
put Wyatt Langford at middle linebacker.
Hey, he plays he plays the hot corner, okay, aka third base, right? So he was pretty good at that. I mean, look, okay, last thing as it pertains to this. When it comes to guaranteed contracts, all right, and this is from a baseball perspective, and what I mean by that is the six guys that we already mentioned. Seager, DeGrom, Simeon, Evaldi, Peterson, and Higashioka. Six guys. You know what their the cumulative total of their contracts are going into next year?
$72 million.
Yeah.
Well, way more. I was going to say.
Go ahead and take that times
180.
Two. Try $152 million just in those six guys.
Name them all. Let's rank them. Name those guys. Of guys you'd want to keep.
I mean, I would.
Rank them, Fred. Give me the names and I'll rank them if you don't want to.
I'll let you rank them because I would put everybody on the block.
Give me the names again. I'm saying that's fine. You can put them all on the block. But first being, I'd love to keep this guy the most. Six being, if this guy left tomorrow, I wouldn't blink twice. Okay, give me the names again.
Corey Seager.
Number one, obviously.
Jacob DeGrom.
Number two.
Simeon.
Number three.
Okay, Evaldi.
It's in order so far. Four.
Peterson.
Six.
Kyle Higashioka.
Five.
Higashioka.
Yeah.
What did I say?
Higgy.
What did I
say? Higashioka or something like that?
It's been a long day. It's been a long
day. It was a long night, too. That Cowboy game went a long time.
We've had it's been long.
It's
been long.
I was at the studio until 1:30 this morning, I guess.
Mark.
Yeah, this morning.
Dylan's been putting their work, too, because we were emailing Dylan last night.
Yeah, we absolutely were.
You need five of those players to be competitive next season. I mean, you really need four. I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek with Kyle, but...
I mean, you need them all. I mean, well, no, because, I mean, Higashioka was your best catcher this year.
That was my fifth. Yeah. I was not including Jock. when I said five.
I would love to see Jock Peterson have a bounce back, but let's just real quick, just for the sake of bleeps and giggles.
What do you mean by bleeps and giggles?
It's me not using the un-FCC safe words for pretty much his worst season ever.
Yeah.
His 22-year-old rookie season, and I don't even know that would qualify. Yeah, it didn't even qualify because of the number of at-bats. So this was by far the worst year of Jock Peterson's career. Okay.
And it came in just a perfect time when the Rangers needed a bat, huh?
The only season that he actually had worse was 2020, but that was because he, I'm guessing he got hurt that year because he only played 43 games. He ended up playing 96 games this year, even after the broken hand. And he batted a... Do you guys want to take a guess real quick on what he batted?
Batting average for the full season?
For the full season.
Who are we talking about?
Jock.
Everybody's favorite. Everybody's favorite.
I'm going to let Dylan guess first. He'll probably put me in the ballpark.
152.
152 says Dylan.
Okay, I'm going to go 178.
178. Do we want Trevor the Creator? You want to guess what Jock Peterson's batting average
152
was?
152 is diabolical.
I think it ended 182.
Look how crispy Trevor sounds on the mic, too.
He does, right? I'll tell you what. Can we celebrate the heel turn? By the way, the two heel turns here at the producer. I tell you what.
Two villains in the producer cup.
Two villains right there in
you would never know from how they send your audio.
Never.
But these guys are vengeance when the mic turns on.
Gentlemen, though. 181 was the answer we were looking for.
Wow, look at you, Trevor.
So 181. You said 178. So not bad by you.
I'm giving Trevor the nod. 182 is great.
We're going to give him the nod, too.
Someone said 120. I guess they were guessing, too.
It wasn't great. He had career lows.
Oh, 2020 was a pandemic, Fred. People are texting in.
Yeah, that's right. It was, wasn't it?
So I think everybody played that.
Everybody
something
suffered.
Something happened to Jock in 2020, man. This guy went on the
what
field.
What the hell? Wasn't there some global issue that year? Hell, I don't know.
Jock just doesn't want it bad enough.
Only played in 43 games that year. So, yeah, he was just as bad in that year as he was this year. But he still sucked. let's see. He had 26 RBIs.
Which year are we talking about? This year?
Talking about this year.
Okay.
26 RBI, 9 home runs.
I had him for
over
30.
Which actually was only 2 more than he had in the pandemic shortened year. All right. Let's see. What else? What other?
Simeon over Evaldi? No. Evaldi over Simeon, 469. Probably when I was doing my rankings, I think I said Simeon first. It's Seager. It's honestly Seager, Evaldi, DeGrom, Simeon in that order.
I mean, look, Seager's that number one guy, for sure.
For sure. And for me, it's Evaldi, too, younger than DeGrom. DeGrom's phenomenal, but Evaldi just had a great season and is younger.
But, I mean, DeGrom, or Evaldi's still 35.
Younger. I'm ranking up to DeGrom, brother.
You may sound like he was some spring chicken. I mean, he's younger.
Younger. I didn't say
which
young.
Which he is. You're right. He is only a couple years younger. So, there is that. Chris Young. Hey, this is why they pay you the big bucks.
Yeah.
Okay. This is why you're the president of baseball operations.
Correct.
Is for this reason right here. Okay. Because I want to see. All right. Look, I went on kind of a rant on Sunday with CA that I was upset that.
Surprising.
I know, right? It is surprising.
You and CA.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
He went on rants.
The NCAA going on rant. Two old heads.
Y'all should just call it the rant.
rant. The old head rant show.
Do y'all have a name for y'all show? Or is it just
no,
CA
it's just CA.
Just call
Fred.
It the rant.
It's just
I tune
and
in.
Fred. It's just CA and Fred. Just spitting old school.
Which is CA and Fred show be called on Sundays? Tell us. Text it in. I'll read them.
Do that on Tuesday.
They can still text it in.
Fair foul. You trust Chris Young to turn this thing around.
Fair.
Okay.
I do.
Tease it, bro. We're teasing.
That's
it.
Our fair or foul.
It's one of them. We're keeping the baseball theme alive.
I was okay? going to ask you if you wanted to do fair or foul or Cowboys audio
we'll
or Mavs audio.
No. We'll save that for the 10 o'clock hour. Fair or foul.
So fair
or
foul
next. Fair or foul. Do you think Chris Young is the guy to turn this thing around? Okay. Because look,
so don't answer right.
2020. No, don't. All right, because if I have to hear one more person say, well, we won a World Series in 2023,
yeah,
I get it.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
Yeah, okay, cool. What have you done for me lately?
Only two teams have won since he won. Yeah, like every team in the league has
you
won.
You haven't even made the playoffs since then.
Okay, a lot of teams didn't make the playoffs. Astros didn't make the playoffs this year either.
Yeah, because they just finished off a dynastic run.
Oh, look at this guy.
Did they not? Yes or no?
How does it taste? Take us a break.
Since when's one legitimate World Series
try
in
to say, see, this is what I'm talking about with you Ranger fans. Okay?
Wow.
Yeah, that's right. That's
not
what
even,
I, yeah,
you're putting
me.
Yourself
yeah.
in the boat.
No,
you
no, no,
Ranger fans.
No. See, no. That's this is crazy. No, because I'm telling you right now.
That's crazy. He said you Ranger fans.
Yeah, that's right. You two. I'm looking at you two. I'm looking at you two.
Are you not throwing yourself in
there? No. Because you know what? I absolutely am a Ranger fan, but you know what? I want
you Ranger fans.
I want more, okay? I'm upset that this team went 81-81.
I am, too.
Are you, though?
You said, do I believe in CY? And I said, yes. You didn't say, am I upset?
See,
those are two different answers.
I'm not sure I do.
Those are two different
I'm
answers.
I'm not sure I do.
You don't believe in CY?
I don't know.
Answer the question.
I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know.
Is that what the next segment's for?
You won a World Series, and I tell you what, he's no Jeff Luno. I can tell you that much.
I don't know who Jeff Luno is.
Yeah, well, Google it. Don't go anywhere. Fair foul coming up next.
If you're in the market to upgrade your vehicle, get to Classic Chevrolet in Grapevine, back-to-back number one Chevy dealership in the world. They've got more new Chevys than anyone, all priced to sell. Visit ClassicChevrolet.com. This is Texas. This is Classic Chevrolet. Together, let's drive, relax, and enjoy the difference. Based on new Chevy registrations 2023 and 2024.
From the 214, Fatties Unite, me and my brother are bummed about the Ranger season, but that means more Fan After Dark. That's from Neil and Bob Aunit. Make sure I'm saying it right. Aunett. Shout out to you and your brother. You will get more Fan After Dark Monday through Friday. You will
Fantastic.
Have Fan After Dark. No more Ranger season and no more Bruce Bochy as your Texas Rangers manager. We'll have to wait and see what role he makes up with the Rangers in the front office or with another team, or maybe he's just done with baseball, Fred.
All right, let's jump out of the DM and leasing hotline and keep the baseball vibes going. 9-year Major League Baseball veteran, also spent some time here in Texas once upon a time. He's also with the Marquee Sports Network and ESPN, getting ready to call the Reds and Dodgers series, Mr. Doug Glanville. And Doug, first of all, I appreciate you jumping on with us on short notice. Obviously, the big news that dropped about an hour and a half ago, a little over, with Bruce Bochy and Chris Young agreeing mutually that they, you know, that Boch wasn't going to come back. Now, part of the scuttlebutt allegedly is that, you know, they're going to try to trim some payroll this year and they want to go in a little bit more youthful direction in 2026. When you hear that, what does your baseball brain tell you?
Yeah, I mean, look, Bruce Bochy just, what an incredible career. And, you know, is it over? You know, maybe not. I mean, he's, he kind of came out of retirement, wins the World Series, and always does great things for the game at large just because of the respect he carries and the respect he has throughout the sport. I guess what I hear about youth movement, I think someone like Bruce Bochy, who came out of retirement for the purpose of, you know, trying to win, you know, it's hard to win if you're revamping and retooling back to sort of the roots of just development. I don't know if that's actually the case, but I know that's the first thing I would hear if I heard the terms about, you know, going young and sort of, you know, cleaning house or something like that. So, you know, we'll see if those dots connect, but it's hard for any manager in general. But if you're, you know, someone who's won four World Series and, you know, you're not going to rebuild.
When you look at the Texas Rangers bankroll being 240 this year, looking to be a little bit slimmer down with their bankroll, and we know they were a top 10 team this year as far as spending money and did not make the playoffs, what kind of direction do you see the Rangers going in as far as how they manage their roster, and what type of manager fits the direction you think the Rangers will go in?
Well, a lot of teams are now able to find ways to be resourceful. I'm sure Chris Young is that type of figure where he can still, you know, find the talent around to still, you know, win, but also just fill some holes with younger players that can develop, whether it's like a Carter or, you know, Langford. I know he got injured and so on, but they have a lot of young players that can do the job. And some of the moves they made, as you build your farm system, you know, you kind of know who might be able to take that next step. So, you know, you evaluate that, you see what people do in the off season, you train, you come into spring training, and then you have, you know, some tryouts. And certain managers that have the patience and the time to say, okay, this might be a year or two, or this might be taking your lumps, or maybe we're not going to win it all next year, but we're going to, you know, at least start knocking on doors. That might be, you know, someone who has the horizon that's, you know, younger and wants to, you know, put in the time and be able to have the bandwidth to develop. And that's a different mindset when you're like, I'm winning right now versus developing players. The thing about today is a lot of the players that come up so quickly, there's a lot of coaching and development that happens at the major league level. And it's, you know, it's just a different game than sort of when I played, where, you know, I was a first round draft pick, and it took me 4.5 years to just get to the big leagues. So, you know, I had to learn how to slide on my left side, on my right side, hook slide, you know, all the things, the details. It's a little different now, where if you have the offensive capability and you hit certain metrics, you're going to be in the big leagues, and you may be very productive at that.
What do you think went wrong these last two seasons? I mean, I get it. You had some injuries, but, you know, you've been around this game for a long time. You don't usually have the same core where, you know, you had guys in 2023 that, you know, had, dare I say, career years. And then the last 2 years, it just feels like, you know, whether it's been a Josh Young, whether it's been a Jonah Heim, whether it's been, I mean, hell, even a Marcus Semien, who's been very up and down when it comes to, you know, he's great in the field, but, you know, at the plate, I mean, hell, he went from batting leadoff to batting ninth at one point this year. Have you ever seen anything like that where, you know, again, the exact same core almost, you know, wins a World Series 1 year and then, you know, scuffles to get to 500 the next two?
I mean, it definitely happens because, you know, two things I think of. One is that you're a year older, you know, that's, and the league is adjusting really quickly. And you just have to have certain things line up, like to be able to take it all the way, whether it's, you know, Buster Posey when he was playing and, you know, he was healthy that 1 year and towards the end, and they rattle off what 100 plus wins. I mean, you need veterans to have career years, but also stay on the field, and then you need young guys to kind of play beyond their years. You know, so a lot of that, you know, can fall, you know, to the wayside, and they got all of that in the World Series year. And then the next year, you know, I saw Boats a lot on the road, and he'd say, you know, offense just, you know, can't get the offense going. And that was kind of the story. The next turned out to be 2 years. They just couldn't get, you know, Garcia where he needed to be. The injuries started to pile up. And once you have that at the end, when they had, you know, the horrible stretch of knocked them out of the playoffs, there's a lot of young guys are just trying to fill in and just sort of carry the load. It's so, you know, sometimes it's just the way, the luck of the draw a little bit. And because they did have the pitching, you know, they finally had sort of the arms, the starting rotation. They just couldn't piece it together the rest of the way.
I'll ask you the question everyone listening is waiting to know. Who are some candidates outside of Skip Schumacher? And then also, how attractive would you say this Texas Rangers roster is just for incoming candidates?
Well, I see a manager really loving Texas. I mean, you got the, you know, the new gorgeous facility there, and I didn't get to play in. So, you know, you have, you know, a huge upside, and it's a great place to play. I love playing there. So I imagine that you got the right figure that can bring the free agents over. You know, people wanted to play for Bochy. That's, you know, as an example, you know, you have, so I think there is something to be said for the charisma of drawing in talent and then kind of building on what you have. So, yeah, you mentioned Schumacher and, you know, these kind of guys that have had the experience, but yet, you know, just he was a guy that just ended badly, right? He had his phenomenal season managing and then just things, the wheels fell off and just been looking ever since. I know there's guys like Joe Girardi who always seems to be out there. So, I'm, you know, I think there's an up and coming type of flavor that could be great, that someone who has experience but can kind of take what they have and build on it. I think there'll be a lot of people who are very, very interested in that job.
Is this a team that can win right away? I mean, considering if they're going to go ahead and cut some payroll, but you still got guys like a Seager who's making a boatload of money. You got Simeon still making a lot of money. And again, you're waiting on guys like a Jonah Heim, like a Josh Jung, who you need to hit. And of course, Jock Peterson, that's a whole nother conversation there, right. Considering what you paid him, and he has a career year worst. You know, can this be a quick fix?
Well, it can be. I don't think it has to be some 5-year turnaround.
Okay.
You know, you have to. You know, you also have to look at what your division is doing. You know, that's the other thing. Like, all right, look at. You know, Seattle went out there at the trade deadline and just got a phenomenal offense. Right. They got Suarez. They got Naylor. They got Ferguson in the pen, and you know they just went another level offensively. So sometimes it's that resource timing of whether you're going to make the moves at the trade deadline to, you know, and then are able to make the moves. Like sometimes it doesn't line up. So I see that's one thing to note. And the Astros, you know, they struggled at the end, but they're always contenders and they're getting a little bit older as well. And, you know, the A's can hit, but yet they don't have really the arms right now. So you have to pay attention to, you know, what your division is doing as well and what the division is willing to do at the trade deadline. Our Mariners just went for it. They went all in, and that, you know, if the Rangers had that kind of depth offensively when those guys did go down, you know, that 2-3 game swing to break up that losing streak at the end might have been the difference of getting in versus not.
And well, and I'll tell you what, I mean, and real quick, I'm up against it, but I'm gonna go ahead and ask anyway. I mean, how much of not having a bone? And this is my one critique of Chris Young this year was you've got a $241 million payroll, and yet you know you're a quote-unquote a World Series contender going into the season, which a lot of people had them penciled in as one, but yet you went with an unproven Luke Jackson as your closer. And, you know, as a result, I mean, I'm not going to say that was the end-all, be-all, but, you know, that let's call it what it is. You had a stretch in June, July, and August where not having a bona fide closer, you know, killed your chances.
Well, when you have even when you have great starting pitching today, they're not going 9 innings.
Right.
You know, and I think that's just – so you absolutely, you know, need the bullpen. And, you know, and if you hang your hat on that, it's not going to be able to – you know, you're not going to be able to close out games in the consistency that you need. And, you know, that certainly wasn't expected to be – but, you know, in terms of track record and history, it was a little bit untested. But I see Chris Young as a you know really sharp figure in the front office landscape, and I'm sure he's licking his wounds and regrouping on what needs to happen next. But you know bullpens are so critical today. I mean you have to have so many arms. You look at these teams that made the biggest moves at the trade deadline, like the Yankees and the Padres. You know they bolstered their bullpen. The Phillies got Duran.
Yeah.
I mean that's what it takes. I mean, the Yankees have four closers right now.
Right.
They were just making sure.
Exactly. Doug, I'll tell you what, my man, I appreciate you jumping on with us on short notice. You're going to be calling the Dodgers and the Reds. Look, enjoy that. Is there any better postseason than playoff baseball?
Nothing like it. Very excited about it tomorrow.
Yep. Doug, great stuff from you as always, my friend. We'll do this again real soon. Thanks again for joining us.
Okay, sounds good.
There you have it, the one, the only, Mr. Doug Glanville. All right, final hour of the program. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. We've got some Cowboys audio. We're going to tease a little bit of what we did today at Mavs Media Day. We'll do a full-blown breakdown of that tomorrow, though, but to give you a little flavor of what we did there. And, of course, the news du jour, Bruce Bochy not coming back in 2026. He is Blake Elliott. I am Fred Davis. That is Dylan behind the glass. Don't go anywhere. It's Fan After Dark.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.